On the field, inside the clubhouse, and everything in between. This is Brewers Weekly. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Well, welcome into Brewers Weekly here on WTMJ. And I'm going to be honest right here at the top of the show. What a week. Brewers get the sweep. They take 4 out of 6 on this road trip, despite losing the series, of course, to the Nats. They beat up on the Braves 16-7. What a final score. Now, I'm doing something for the first time I've ever done here on Brewers Weekly. Now, this is a recorded episode of the show here tonight, so won't be able to get to any texts or any calls tonight because of previous travel plans. But because that game went almost 3.5 hours, and because everything is traffic-centered here in Atlanta, I need to make sure that I get to this flight. So I'm actually recording this episode, not going to lie, in the back of an Uber. And this is just a fun little moment. We're all going to enjoy it. Doesn't impact the sound of it. And we're just going to be sitting in Atlanta traffic as we do the first half of this program. Now, a lot of this is already recorded as well. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up in just a little bit. We'll also have a couple of taped interviews. Had a chance to catch up with Sal Frelick before Tuesday's game, before Wednesday's game against Chris Sale. Talked to him about his year in the big leagues, facing lefties, that sort of thing. Also wanted to share Josh Maurer's interview with Bob Costas that he played on the On Deck show earlier today here on the Brewers Radio Network. For those who might have missed it, we'll have it here in podcast form as well. And, of course, the story of the day, and this just so is perfect because we talked to him before the game, Jackson Churio becoming the youngest Brewer ever to have a multi-homer game at 20 years young in 150 days. Two-homer day for him. The Brewers set a new season high with 6 homers today, one shy of setting a franchise record as well. Really impressive day from the offense, to say the least. So as we get ready to send it to our first break here, let's just go ahead and hear all 6 home runs that were heard right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Then we'll come back and hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, and Jackson Churio a little bit later on here on the program. It's a recorded version of Brewers Weekly here on WTMJ.
2-1, there goes the runner, and it's a high fly ball, deep left center field. Kelnick tracking at the wall, it is gone! William Contreras with a 2-run blast, and the Brewers out to a 2-0 lead here in the first. There goes the runner. 0-1 is drilled out to left center field. This is high. It is deep. It is gone. Jackson Churio, his 13th home run of the season. It's a 2-run blast, and the Brewers on top, 5-0 in Atlanta. The Wonder Kid strikes again. 3-1. And Mitchell gives one a ride out to left center field. Kelnick racing back at the track. Bye-bye baseball! Mitchell and Churio go back-to-back, and it's 6-0 crew.
1-2 pitch. Hit in the air in the left. That's going to back up Duvall. Back onto the track. Duvall still going at the wall. Leaps up. Goodbye, home run. Willy Adames. The 4th long ball for the Brewers against Morton in just over 2 innings.
Back, gone. Jake Bowers with a 2-run shot. Hit the very top of the wall in left center. 3-1, high fly ball, deep right. Going back is Laureano. Looking up, it is gone. Jackson Churio.
Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
So let's start talking about Churio. And obviously, 16 runs, 20 hits. We can talk about a lot of things. There were a lot of good performers in this. I'm just going to be straight up about this episode. It's not going to be so much about today's game. We aren't going to hear from Pat Murphy. But for this segment, I just want to really talk about Churio. Look, I know Contreras hit a homer. I know Willie hit another homer. Bowers hit a homer. There are plenty of positives from this game. But we have to stop and stare for a moment here at what Jackson Churio has been doing. This isn't just like an incredible hot streak now for the last 2 months or so, but he's completely erased the cold start that he had to this season. We talked about it in yesterday's postgame show. But 101 career games now, he's hitting .277 as a 20-year-old in the big leagues. He has now 14 homers with 2 more today. He has a legitimate shot at a 20-20-20 season. Not just 20 homers and 20 stolen bases, but 20 doubles as well. He's got 15 doubles, 14 homers, and 15 stolen bases. He's already in rare air. We're talking Mike Trout. We're talking Vada Pinson. We're talking Bryce Harper as guys that have had 20-20 seasons before they turn 21 years old. And Churio is doing that right now. He has been incredible. And in case you're wondering what this stretch actually is, the real line of demarcation, you can easily say it's the start of June, but I've been going with June 2nd since he didn't play with the entire game on June 1st. So including today's game, Churio, over his last 50, hitting .339 with a .930 OPS, he now has five consecutive multi-hit games in the midst of having a seven-game hitting streak. In six of the last seven games, he's had multiple hits, including back-to-back three-hit games. This is ridiculous what he's doing right now. It is so impressive to watch. And it just so happened that we had a chance as a media scrum to catch up with him before the game today through team interpreter Daniel DeMondesert. First off, starting with talking about the confidence that his teammates have provided to him and the support that he's gotten from the veterans like Freddy Peralta, the veterans like Willie Adames. That's what him and through translator Daniel DeMondesert talked about here earlier today.
Yeah, you know, they've treated me incredibly, and, you know, I'm very appreciative and very happy that they've, you know, taken me in and done as such, and, you know, it's, you know, them giving that confidence in me, which means a lot. Yeah, you know, I think you think to some extent, right, that it's going to happen, but I don't think maybe to the level that they have, you know, supported me and taken care of me, I don't think you necessarily expect that.
Furthermore, just about his adjustments at the plate, what he's learned from back in May to what he is now, his routine and generating confidence of not just getting results, but understanding what it takes for him to be a big leaguer on every given day.
Well, I think you have to go about it with discipline, and that's something I've always taken with me. You know, you just have to take this game day by day and continue to work to get better every single day, and, you know, that's what I've been doing. Yeah, I don't think I've paid a whole lot of, like, mind to it necessarily, but I think the routine's changed a little bit. You know, as the season goes on, you know, you kind of learn how to manage different times of the games and the day games and, you know, go about the work maybe a little bit more efficiently.
And finally, I honestly hesitated for a moment when he said this coming answer. When Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel asked him, hey man, you know, you're obviously playing with a lot of confidence right now. Where does that come from? How are you feeling about that? He's like, oh yeah, I'm confident. Like, I'll let him speak for himself. But I was ready to think, oh man, he's about to go like 0 for 5 today after giving this great answer to us. And little did we know, this confidence was certainly infectious.
No, no, increíble, me siento la verdad.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel incredible. Truthfully, there's not much else to say. Just feel great right now.
So that's a little bit about Jackson Churio here today. What a moment for him. What a day. The Brewers get six homers. He had two of them as they sweep the Braves by a big 16-7 final score. They had 16 hits in all three games. We'll talk to a very happy manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
It's Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, the Brewers get a big one. That was a lot of fun to watch. Again, if you missed it earlier, this is a recorded version of Brewers Weekly here on WTMJ. I'm Dominic Catronio. Back with you for live post games tomorrow, though, as the Reds come to town. First pitch scheduled for 7:10. Our coverage will begin at 6 with Brewers warm-up. Now, Pat Murphy was certainly happy today. He spoke with the media after the big 16-7 victory.
I'm trying not to think about the last two games and just think about today's game and be ready for tomorrow's game. That's it, you know. So pleased today that they came out and pecked away against a very, very good pitcher that, you know, like, he's iconic pitcher, you know what I mean, that really knows how to pitch. And we got young players that, you know, there's another day that I've seen Charlie just mess up our guys, you know what I mean. So he's special in the game. And you know, we had a really, I don't think he was feeling great, but I think we had a really good, really good game against him in terms of just pecking away. And, yeah, it turned out good. So but I don't want to evaluate a series. I just want to evaluate today.
It's the two out hits too.
We had a ton. Yeah. Well, all our runs early were two outs, weren't they? And that's great. Yeah.
What do you think a series like this can do for you guys moving forward?
He's not listening, is he? He's not a listener. Huh? You know what I'm saying? What do you think? What would you do? What would you,
we take it
what would you do?
At a time.
What would you do? What would you do with a guy like that? If you saw him every day, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, do you try to reprimand him? What do you do? Like, do you try to, like...
I'll leave. Okay.
No.
But just building momentum for the team.
Just playing good more than one day, you know, like playing consistently pretty good like we did the last few days. That's especially against a team that's is capable of, you know, they've like us, they've been crushed by injuries and, are dealing with huge number of issues too. So, but to come here in their ballpark, we haven't had a lot of success in recently, and play well all 3 days, regardless of the outcome. So. Play good defense, kind of unnoticed, and offensively, we like I said, we just scrapped and pecked away, ran pitch counts up, and put balls in play. And yesterday, we didn't really put in play, but put in play just enough, I guess.
I don't know if there's much left to say about Jackson lately.
Jack.
One thing that he's told us about this stretch is that there weren't there were adjustments along the way and changing his work before games, but. It's not like there were huge changes. He's like kind of trying to stay the course. Is that part of what you think his success is? Is not trying to like change too much of what got him here?
Yeah, like there isn't magic formula for any of this. You know, the bottom line is you see the ball and hit it, and you got to have clarity and you got to have conviction and confidence and. You know, he's developed that, and it takes time. It takes your own personal experience. Nobody gives you the confidence, you know. That comes from within, and I think he's, developed that through his trial and error and through his relentless approach, and I couldn't be happier for Jack. I mean, he's just coming into his own, you know what I mean, and letting his talent play and not dwelling on the failures and bouncing back after that, so... Really pleased with him.
What did you think of the first homer, the drop of bunt down, and then homer on the next pitch?
It's been kind of a recipe. If you've been watching. I don't know if you watch all the games, but I do. It's been kind of a recipe. How about Mitchell? Mm-hmm. Try to drop a bunt down and homer. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that phenomenon is, but it's got the analytics people up in arms.
I was going to say Frankie probably wasn't as efficient as he would like, but did you feel like he took another step forward today with what he did in this?
Well, you know, he was chomping at the bit to stay, yeah. You know what I mean? And, he if he had a knife, he would have stabbed me when I took him out. Yeah, 90-some pitches, 4 innings, and this a weather like today, we're just thinking of him, you know, and a little bit the team because, you know, he wasn't as efficient. We don't want to get that pitch count up and get him in trouble the next inning like he was the inning before. So, he did some really good things. I'm pleased with him. I feel like he knows he has to keep going. His tempo slowed down. The game slowed down when we scored some runs, and all of a sudden his tempo slowed down a little bit, and he's got to get out there and do that. You got to go inning by inning, and you can't start thinking, wow, if I do this, I could go and I could do it. You know, it's just like hitters. You can't start thinking, oh, if I get another hit, then I'm, no, that's results thinking, that's stinking thinking. So you just keep your head down and keep doing what you're doing. It's kind of boring to be, you know, a good offensive player. It's kind of boring. You know what I mean? Like, you got to just like react to what the game gives you.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't want to do that. You want to force the game. So the maturity is, you know, react to what the game gives you.
That's from Pat Murphy. Up next, we're going to shift gears a little bit. This was from the pregame show. Bob Costas joined Josh Maurer earlier this week as he was calling the game for TBS on Tuesday. So Bob and Josh on the other side of this break on a recorded version of Brewers Weekly here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, as teased, Bob Costas was watching the Brewers this week. If you're ever out of market, just a shameless plug here, and if you aren't able to listen to WTMJ Live, or maybe you don't have Bally, if you're out of market, TBS has Tuesdays for national games. In fact, not only did they have this past Tuesday with Brewers and Braves, but they also have next Tuesday with Dodgers and Brewers back at American Family Field. Brian Anderson and Bob Costas split the duties, mostly BA, of course, doing the job on TBS and, of course, the postseason as well. But this week, I got to work with Bob Costas, and we are playing the interview that was done by Josh Maurer on the Brewers Radio Network for pregame earlier this week. Bob was very gracious with his time with Josh. Of course, had to talk about the man, the one, the only, Bob Uecker. Also, a little bit about Paris in here as well. My thanks to Josh for allowing us to share this with our podcast listeners. You know, this was aired, and sometimes it's not able to grab. If you didn't catch it live, you missed it. So I wanted folks to hear this from Bob Costas as he enjoyed his time watching the Brewers once again. Again, this was recorded on Tuesday as Bob and Josh sat down for the series preview, if you will, and also a little bit more about the Brew crew to this point in the year. So enjoy Josh and Bob from earlier this week.
But he is a friend of ours on the Brewers Radio Network. It's the one and only Bob Costas. You worked how many years with Bob Uecker on the baseball network?
Well, let's see. 94, we only did the All-Star game, and then the strike knocked it out. After that, 95, 96, 97. So 4 years, four seasons. But we've been friends forever.
Yeah, I was going to ask you just to start off, what do you think when you think of Bob Uecker?
Well, I was just in Pat Murphy's office, haven't seen him in a while. This is the first Brewer game I've done in quite some time, and it immediately began. The meeting, the so-called meeting, immediately began with about a half dozen Uecker stories. So that, you know, that tells you, you can't even look at Bob and not laugh, let alone talk about him.
Being a partner of his when he is the analyst is foreign to this booth. Talk about Bob Uecker, the color analyst, if you would.
He was very sharp and very perceptive. Joe Morgan was also in the booth with us, and that was an interesting kind of yin and yang because Joe was by nature more serious. Uke is anecdotal and quick with a quip, but I think they were good for each other. The combination worked well, and I think I had a good sense of where to turn to each of them. But then eventually we got into a rhythm where I didn't have to pose a question. We very seldom stepped on each other. The whole kind of rhythm of it just worked. But I think Uke, because he's so funny and because he's such a great play-by-play man, even if he never said anything funny, he's one of the best radio play-by-play men ever. Because of that, I think people underrate how sharp his insights are. And he was very insightful and made a lot of good comments just on their baseball merits, leaving aside the character of Bob Uecker. But I didn't leave aside the character of Bob Uecker, and knowing him as well as I did before we began working together in the mid-90s, I knew some of his best lines and best stories. So there were times when I would turn to him and set him up, and then after he got off the line, he'd give me the high five or a slap on the back, you know, that kind of thing. One story that I've told before, 95 World Series, Game 6, Cleveland and the Braves in Atlanta, and Morgan is talking about his own World Series experiences. And he's talking about the Big Red Machine and Sparky Anderson and Johnny Bench and Pete Rose and et cetera, et cetera. And then have to be polite, but mostly just because I knew it would lead to something funny, I turned to Uke. I said, Uke, you ever play in the World Series? He said, well, I was with the Cardinals in 64, but when we played the Yankees in the World Series, I was on the disabled list, as it was then known. So I'm just playing straight, man. I said, what was wrong with you? And he said, I had hepatitis. I said, how'd you get that? He said, the trainer injected me with it. So there you have it. And then there were things that would not be so politically correct today. That same World Series, there was a shot coming out of a commercial of the moon in a clear sky over Atlanta. And I said, a crescent moon, Uke. Isn't it nice? And he goes, stay back.
You mentioned to us you haven't seen the Brewers in person for a while.
Yeah.
What's your perception of this organization as it stands right now from the outside?
Well, obviously, they've made the most of their resources for a very long time. Ron Darling, who's in the next booth, we're doing the game tonight for TBS, he and I did the Dodgers in the division series, and we were anticipating the Brewers would be the opponent. And then the D-backs came into Milwaukee and won two straight, and that went down the drain. So I had lots of Brewer preparation that I had no use for, and I had to pivot to the Diamondbacks. You know, let's be honest, it's good to be in the National League Central. It's also good, generally speaking, to be in the American League Central. But the Brewers have been in the postseason, what, six consecutive years, or five of the last six? Yep. This would make it six or seven, if I've got my numbers right. So whether it was with Craig Counsell, whether it's now with Pat Murphy, whether it was David Stearns and now a new front office, the proof is in the pudding. They've done extremely well with what they have. Now it's a challenge this year. With Yelich out, there isn't that much left-handed pop in the lineup. Everybody knows they're going to run. They're anticipating that. Corbin Burns traded. Brandon Woodruff out for the year. Wade Miley, who was a solid, you know, number four in a good rotation, his career may be over. So Peralta is now the ace of the staff. Nothing against him, but they'd rather have him settle in nicely as the number three in the rotation. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know. 17 starting pitchers and more bullpen innings than any team in baseball. Both of those numbers are tops in baseball. That is not the ideal design.
Right.
But you make do with what you got.
I have to ask, you were in Paris.
I was.
I saw some great pictures. The one that went viral, of course, is you, Al Michaels, and Snoop Dogg. How was the trip? Is it weird when you go see the Olympics now without having to work it?
No, not weird at all. In fact, I enjoyed it very much. I didn't have the pressure of having to know everything or as close to everything as you can possibly learn when you host an Olympics. It was very relaxing. It was a whole lot of fun. They got us together with Snoop, who's kind of like the mascot for NBC's Olympics. He's everywhere, and they wanted me and Al to take a picture with him. Okay, fine. And they must have snapped about 100 pictures. But the one that I guess is all over the place is the one that went viral. So go figure.
Bob, thank you so much for your time. It's great to see you. It's great to hear the stories about our man, Uke.
There's more where that came from. Not all of them are arable, and luckily we're out of time.
My thanks once again to Josh Maurer and Bob Costas. Of course, it has been a thrill and an honor to work with Bob over the last few seasons since 2021 here and there. So we've learned a ton as a baseball guy. Just it is really, really fun to listen to him. So that is Bob and Josh. How about we shift gears and get back to some current players? How about Sal Frelick? We teased this earlier. Sal will join me on the program coming up next, talking about being in the big leagues for a year. Man, it can't believe it's already been over a year for Sal. We'll talk to him next here on WTMJ.
Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Hey, welcome back here on Brewers Weekly. It's WTMJ. Dom Catronio here. Please be joined by Sal Frelick, live down here in Atlanta. Sal, is looking through, you know, the last year or so for you, a little over a year now in the big leagues. Time obviously flies. Just overarching how you look back in this last year or so being a big leaguer.
Yeah, crazy that it's already a year. Just kind of looking back on that. I think it was like a week or two ago, and I had gotten called up last year. And yeah, like you said, it really does go so far. Fast. I feel like I've still just got here, and it's already been a year, so just still a lot of learning to do, and I think it was a really good first year, though.
We talked about earlier in the year on some really good stretches for you offensively that your ball strike is kind of what you point to as your big reason why. Is there anything you attribute to making that skill better or anything that you've learned in this last year that's just as simple as swing at strikes, take balls?
Yeah, I mean, you think it's as easy as that, but obviously it's not, and it's just kind of, you know, it's not as much as what I do, I think, physically, like in the cage pregame and stuff, but it's more just like learning the game and understanding how a pitcher is going to attack me, and you know, you can kind of find stretches of how pitchers are attacking you. If there's, you know, maybe a weak spot that they're exploiting or stuff like that, or certain, just studying certain pitchers and understanding, like, you know, maybe when they're going to throw a pitch in certain counts, stuff like that, and just being more aware at the plate of thinking about that stuff and not just kind of going up there and saying, you know, see ball, hit ball.
What do you see when pitchers are forming a big game plan against you? Have you seen trends? Have you seen things that they have tried to exploit against you, or things that you've been able to make adjustments toward?
Yeah, I mean, quite literally everything, like, from when I came up, and it just kind of happens. Like, sometimes, you know, it'll be a stretch where I'm covering the inside of the plate really well, and that's where I'm hitting balls, and then the next week or two, it's just, you know, change up, sinkers away, and then I have to kind of adjust to that, and then, you know, it might be back foot sliders the next week, and it's kind of just, it goes, you know, week by week, month by month on you kind of understand what the game plan is for you as a hitter that pitchers are studying, and it's always changing, but yeah, you just kind of have to be adjustable.
When we look at your usage as well, we've seen you play against lefties, we've seen you obviously play against righties, and Murph's talked to us about it, saying between you and Mitch that you have options of, like, one of you guys is going to be playing while Yelly is down against lefties. I think us in the media, sometimes we overreact to the splits and the platoons, because obviously in college you played against lefties, in the minors you played against lefties. So what do you make of your performance when you're facing a lefty like we're seeing today with Chris Sale?
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously it's easier to face, I mean, generally, as a lefty batter, righties. But then there's a lot of times, especially with starters, I really don't think there's a crazy big difference, lefty versus righty, especially when starters, you know, aren't throwing, like, you know, these demon lefty sinkers that you got the guys come out of the bullpen throwing, or these wipeout sliders. They're more pitches around the zone. But like I said, it's really the starters especially are not a crazy big difference from righties. And I also think just as a hitter, only facing one side of a pitcher, it can kind of hurt you. So, like, if I'm only facing righties the whole entire year and I don't get any shots at facing lefties, like, each week, each day, I'm just going to be pulling off more, because everything's coming into me. You know, guys are throwing sliders in, cutters in, and from the righty slot, it's like you can just kind of, you kind of get unsymmetrical, instead of, you know, always facing righties and lefties. So even when, you know, it might be a tough matchup as a lefty, in the long run, it can definitely help you, just by keeping your body kind of symmetrical.
We're talking with Sal Frelick here on WTMJ. Sal, looking back at the year, I mean, like, I'm thinking back to, like, spring training, and we're talking to you every day about playing third base, and then now it's like, okay, we've had a couple of innings at third, but really it's been back to the outfield. Overall, it just kind of shows you how much a year can change and how you can never predict anything. How have you been able to obviously stay fresh in the outfield? You've been hitting a lot, you've played the whole season to this point. I mean, given what you were being prepared for in the offseason to what it actually turned out to be.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I don't think I really took a rep of fly, like, outfield at all during spring. It was literally like third base, second base every single day in the games. Got a couple innings in the outfield here and there in spring training during the games, but I really wasn't practicing or working on fly balls. Not that, you know, I felt like I needed to by any means, but, like, obviously the main focus was, like, hey, we're gonna need you to play third, let's just pound you there. Obviously Garrett went down, and Murph kind of was just like, all right, we're going to have to completely scratch that. Like, you're just going to go back to playing outfield. And so that's kind of where we've been.
It's been a wild year, to say the least. But one thing I wanted to make sure we touch on is, now it's wild when you brought this up to me, that it's been 10 years since the Ice Bucket Challenge. And we saw you post your reiteration of the 10-year anniversary of the Pete Fredde's Ice Bucket Challenge. For those who aren't familiar, BC's bringing it back, the Pete Fredde's Foundation bringing it back. What can you share to Brewers fans that might see some buckets of water dunked on your teammates' heads?
Yeah, well, obviously, I think it's fascinating. I don't know if it's just, you know, because I grew up in Boston, went to Boston College, that I kind of knew who Pete Fredde's was and understood his battle, his mission. But, like, a lot of the guys here, and it's not to their fault, but knew what the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge was, but didn't know what was behind it. I think they kind of just thought it was for ALS. So I was talking to some of the guys, like, it's, you know, this guy Pete Fredde's who I got to know, you know, pretty well growing up and going to BC, but how he started it. The ESPN just did a great segment on him too, which I know some of the guys watched, but even just word of mouth kind of spreading it around and guys were kind of asking about it was great, and I think that's just part of the whole purpose. But yeah, it's been 10 years. which is crazy because I feel like that was yesterday when I first did it. And obviously Pete's no longer with us, but I think it's a great way to continue his mission and his legacy. And it was his dream to find a cure for ALS. So I think people say ALS is such a bad disease, but I know Pete's mission was what a lot of baseball players I think understand is, I think it is baseball's disease. And I think we have a cool opportunity here to spread some awareness, so just kind of kicked that off last week.
Sal Frelick joining us here on WTMJ. I mean, shoot, 10 years ago I think I was filming Chris Shaw, your boys ice bucket challenge in Chatham. But appreciate the time, man. Best of luck the rest of the year, good health, and thanks for taking some time.
Awesome, thanks, Tom.
All right, back with more after this on WTMJ.
It's Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
That's going to do it for us here tonight. All right, thanks for bearing with me here on this taped version of the show. Appreciate everybody who's been listening all week. It was fun to be down in Atlanta covering this series, and the Brewers come back home for their longest 10-game homestand of the year. Three with the Reds, four with the Dodgers, and then three with the Guardians. You're going to learn a lot about this team moving forward as they're coming in hot. Before, and they got 10 in a row before their next off day. I'm excited to see what things are coming on the way for the Brew Crew as they are still in first place in the division. They are still riding high, and it's the happiest of happy flights home today. My thanks to our producer, Matt Yazel, playing all these in order. I'm Dom Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.